to Wales and hockey tales with Wally. For the fans, to the players, living their hockey dream. To Wales and hockey tales with Wally. Kim Carden, Sander Uski, and everywhere in between. Oh, I hope you don't mind if I introduce you to another Shed guy. And remember, kids, when it is fun, Two Wales and Hockey Tales with Wally. 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 Throw me some chocolate, please.
Welcome to another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. And today I'm so excited to have on a 39-year-old from Cincinnati, Ohio, USA, just down the road from Daytona Beach, Ohio, USA. His hockey journey has taken him to the USA, Croatia, and he's found a home in Deutschland and has been running amok of the equipment game for the Straubing Tigers for the past five seasons and has been to the Shed about five times. He's dabbled in the A, the Coast, the defunct Central Hockey League, the Southern Pro Hockey League, the KHL, the EDL, and is now a staple of the DEL, and has helped form the winning culture that the Straubing Tigers now have. Welcome back to the kitchen, Jeff Maxwell.
Hey, thank you for having me, and it's wonderful to be in the kitchen.
Yes, so the booster's still broken. Cardiff didn't win. Sheffield won, and I tried to have Franny on. It was pretty neat for a guy, right? I've been out of the game for 9 years, and I get to talk to the assistant coach of the Cardiff Devils while he's in the Nottingham Arena and the team is practicing. That's hockey.
That's hockey.
That is hockey. I wish that the Shed hockey boost was still working, because my booster's still broken in the Shed. We're in the kitchen, you know? What a mess.
Yeah, that's a disaster. I'm in an empty hockey stall. Cody Lample's recently retired empty hockey spot.
And that is as sad as it gets too. But I did talk to him right before playoffs, and he seems like he has the right setup to get out of the game, you know, the right way.
Yeah, and just getting to stay around here, stay in the same house. You know, like, he actually came here, made a home, has a home, and continue to be here.
And maybe that's rare in the hockey world.
Yeah, maybe that makes it a little different or something. I don't know. Maybe it makes it a little easier to do. I don't know. But, you know. Like,
well, I think it would, because you're still around the same people, and he can be by the arena and the team if he chose to. I know it's hard to once you're trying to get out of it. I know I detached myself from the game pretty well all together there for a bit. It's like, I know we're both buddies with Deese, and if I look through the pictures on my phone – I come back, there is no hockey. There is nothing. It's all my kids. It's all family stuff. And then all of a sudden, there's a selfie from Deese, the Goat, and Doucette while they're in Cardiff. And he thought to send me a selfie, like, into the next season. And it was like, oh, my God, they haven't forgot about me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's always my biggest fear of, like, not having a season, or, like, not being remembered just the next season, you know?
Well, and it happens. And that was actually one of the neatest things for me is, I mean, I've told the story before. I went to Sunder Uski. I was second in the league in scoring, led the team in goals. We won the championship. I think I was best plus minus in the league. And I go in for my exit meeting after winning a championship. Like, 2 days later, I'm right at the end of the fun. Like, I just had the funnest few days of my life again. And then I go in for my exit meeting, and they're like, kindly leave. And man, I hated them for so long, and then I just realized that they don't not like me. They just didn't have me back. And like now they're sharing all of my stuff. And it's like we're on the same team again.
Yeah. It's always nice. Like time heals a lot of wounds.
It's taken some time.
Yeah. You know, that's good. That's okay. It's better to take the time and fix it than, never fix it at all.
Well, and I think if I would have never gone out to my shed, I don't think it would have got fixed.
Yeah. So it worked out well for you.
I saw they just won
and qualified for Champions League last night.
They just won yesterday. And the coolest thing for me, man, is the guy that took over, he was the assistant, takes over as interim head coach, then wins the Pokal, then wins the championship. And this is his first year coaching. And it's like, well, boom. Your career just blossomed, man, in 1 year. And he was my little puppy when I was there. And I couldn't be prouder of him. And Foz, if you don't get in my shed, I'm going to fly over there and kick you in the squish, right?
Well, hey, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe we'll get lucky and match up with them in Champions League.
That'd be cool. Hey, it's a small world. So you guys are in Champions League too.
Yeah. We finished third. So we are in Champions League. So there's one more. Sweden's the only team that's got a spot left. So hopefully we see the draw here then pretty soon after that.
Well, that's exciting stuff. I'm pretty sure, like, I've never got to be in a video game, and that was like one of my goals in my career. And I'm pretty sure, not to bring up my old wounds again, but we won the championship at Denmark. And then the next season, they played in the Champions Hockey League without me, and I was one of the guys that earned that. And then they don't have me back. And, it was a tough pill to swallow for a bit. But then when you think about how it all goes and it all works out, it's like, well, then I got to go to Cardiff and get my MBA. That set me up for after hockey. And if I wouldn't have done that and my knee goes in Denmark, I'm screwed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I get paid. It worked out for you in the long run.
Yeah.
It's strange how that works out, but you don't ever see it right at that small time.
You sure don't. No, not when they tell you that, and you got a young family and you're walking out to your car like, so we just left Germany. We come here and I do what I planned on doing and showing everybody I'm back. And now we're a free agent again.
Again. Yeah. Especially when you don't see it coming. You're like, oh geez, here we got to go.
And it's like, you're just in your 30s and you're like, I ain't getting younger. I got a family and now like nobody wants me. I'm like, am I the bad guy? Like what? I know I got a bad body, but. So I'm going to bring this up. Season's over. Yep. I don't think they can fine you or suspend you now. Right.
Okay. I don't know what my rules are about that. You know, I know the coaches.
It's just a podcast. It's just you talking to me in my kitchen. Yeah. So if there's anything you don't think you should say, that's fine. But after I have guys on and like I become friends with them and I know who shed guys is, like, Lamps is a shed guy as it gets. And I know he plays the game hard and he plays it the right way. And we talk about how it's the last season of his career and they're going into playoffs. And I saw he got suspended for hitting a guy really, really hard. And he did hit him really, really hard. But that guy's coming up the wing, reaching for a puck with his head down and head face forward, bent right over. And I thought, personally, and people can get mad at me, I thought Lamps went down into the hit. He has to hit him. He's a fourth line winger at this stage in his career. He has to hit him to continue to get ice time to play the game. If he doesn't throw that hit in the playoffs, he never sees another shift. And he went down and hit that guy really, really hard. And
blew him up.
I mean, like, blew him up. But that guy was reaching for a puck. And in my opinion from playing the game is that guy needs to be protecting himself coming up the wall and needs to know somebody's coming in the professional hockey game.
That was an excellent mini rant.
Sorry.
I agree with every word that you said. Okay. Do not be sorry. I loved it. It was entertaining. You're getting good at it. Podcast game here. I thought
enough. Better be.
Exactly. I thought it was a, I don't know how they come out of that with what they came out of that. You get a penalty for hitting hard these days, I guess. Like,
well, you always did in Germany.
That's just the most I'm gonna say. Like, yeah, you know,
in Germany,
if the guy's helmet doesn't come off, is it not a penalty? Like, well, then how about he straps up his helmet like a normal player, not loose? You know, like, How about you wear the right stuff and put your head up? You gotta protect yourself, you know?
Going on rants, I mean, I do have a switch I flip, and I don't even mean to. And sometimes I can do it through social media because I get wound and I get protective of my guys.
Yep.
And I knew Richard Gehlke, who is one of the captains for Selb in the second league, and he's trying to relegate Bietigheim, who asked me to kindly leave after I was loyal to them, and I had very hard feelings to them too. Anywho, he's trying to relegate them, so I said, hey man, get the job done and we'll do our annual selfie, because last year when he relegated Hellbron, who had asked me to kindly leave, the other team, we had a FaceTime in the cabina, and after they won to relegate Hellbron, I had a beer with him and Reds, and it was as hockey as it gets. But then he says, well, he was so sad and upset that he didn't get to play. He was suspended to play Bietigheim for 3 games, and he tells me about it. And then he sent me the video. He sent me the video of how they suspended him, and I watched it. And this guy wheels around the net, a D-man, head up, nobody around except for a 6'3" horse skating at you across the ice. The guy makes a pass and doesn't protect himself in the slightest, doesn't do anything to get ready to get body checked. And Gehlke hits him like hard, and the guy goes flying. And they gave him 3 games. And it's like, isn't it the other guy's job to be ready to get body checked in a body contact sport?
Yeah, I mean, you're coming up the boards with your head down in Cody's case. Like, what do you think's going to happen to you if you're that guy?
Like, exactly what happened.
For starters. Like number two, like you said, like Cody fights for his ice time that he gets. That's a fourth line guy. He's made that his whole career. But they go, this is a repeat offender. No, I'm one for the repeat offender thing, but I think the repeat offender clock needs to reset after at least a year. Like he had no suspensions this season. So like it's been over a year since the last time he gets some suspension, and they're like, oh, this repeat offender. And you're like, yeah, but man, like, could you clean after a year and maybe restart that? Like if you earned something like that, you know, cleaned up your game, you know?
I couldn't believe either of them. So with my, I guess, protectiveness of my guys and what I think hockey should be is, I thought both of them, give them their 2 minutes for hitting too hard. So anyways, I posted both videos on my Instagram and I had a vote. I had a vote for both of them to all, and realistically, folks, the people that are following me are the players, are hockey guys, guys that play the game professionally around the world. I posted both videos, and both of them, by quite a landslide, they said that is a penalty for hitting too hard, or the guy should have his head up and protect himself. None of the votes said it should be a 3-game suspension, not even close. So I don't know. Maybe people want to listen to me, Machete. I don't know. What do I know about hockey?
Right, yeah, I mean, all they dedicated their whole life to it. What do we know? Or what do you know? Like,
I'm
all about player safety.
It's the same as minor hockey, man. It's the same as minor hockey. You get people that aren't hockey people running it, and then the decisions that are made are not being made by hockey people. I'm curious who's making these suspensions, because I'm guessing they didn't play the game the way we used to.
Yeah. Or like I said, I get player safety and injury and stuff like that, but look at it. Like,
players,
the guy
too.
The guy didn't miss a shift. He was out on the power play.
Lance may or may not have wrote to me about it when I had my vote. Yeah. And he said, the guy he hit after the game said, I should have not put myself in such a bad spot, and I should have been more aware, and I should have been more aware that you were on the ice. So I guess the players know what's going on. But then I got right down a rabbit hole, because I posted, when they put the suspension out, I put another penalty for hitting too hard in Germany. And then some podcast or blogger guy from Berlin calls me a clown. And then all of a sudden I'm right down the rabbit hole. And then me and this guy go back and forth. So then that's when I decided to have the vote. And then me and this guy go back and forth some more. And then I said, hey man, I'm just having fun and having my brother's back. And he's like, oh, you don't seem like that bad of a guy now after all, but man, I was right down that rabbit hole for laps.
Like, it's awesome to hear that they got the protection. Lace, I really don't know how much I can complain or what you're allowed to say about this stuff without getting in trouble. Because
right.
I don't want to go to the wrong person. Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to say too much, like go to the wrong person. But like it just, for me, like, I just thought that was going to be a tough way to end his career. But thank God he got one more game in for us.
So he did? He did get to play another one?
Because we won game four, so then he got to play game five, where we ended up ultimately losing a series. But Like I'll talk about like playoff hockey a little more, because like the biggest thing is like you got to outplay the refs too, and that's just like a fact about life, right? I think you just said that the other day,
right.
And that is what it is, and it is what it is. And some nights they have your side, some nights they don't. But all in all, they never really actually have your side, and they never actually really don't have your side. Like
they're doing the best they can, and they're calling what they see.
Even if they're having a bad night, man, like they didn't want to have a bad night. They didn't want to miss an offsides that led to a goal. They didn't want to miss a puck over the glass where they didn't call a power play or did call a power play.
Or they blow the whistle too soon when the puck's around the net, yeah. And you're about to score and they blow the whistle.
Yeah, just things like that. Like, you know, so like they don't want to do that too. And they work a pretty hard job. So like all in all, we had our opportunities and all in all. So it is what it is from that point, you know?
No, but like for me, it's like the ref can call it in game what he sees. But when I watch that video, that's a guy putting everything into a body check to a guy that put himself in a bad spot. Yeah. And I don't think he targeted his head. I thought he actually leaned down into it, where when most people hit, they're going up and he went down.
Yeah.
But anyways, maybe I should get out of this rabbit hole. We should move on, right?
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it.
But it's like when I'm coaching the kids, the main thing I'm trying to teach them like in game is like once a penalty happens, once that arm goes up, once the guy's going to the box, the whistle goes, it's like, okay, time to turn the page. We have a penalty now. It's time to play the next shift. Stop yelling. Stop getting emotional. We have to be ready for the next shift. Don't worry about what that call was. We're on the penalty kill now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Like, you just got to stay focused with what's going on, because when you start to lose focus of what's right ahead of you, that's when things fall apart even more.
Oh, so and that, like, for me, it's like, what ref in the world you start screaming at him is actually going to give you the benefit of the doubt next, right?
Exactly. Exactly that. So.
Anyways,
I got a lot older my last few years, right? I don't scream and yell so much during the game anymore about stuff like that. Just kind of
let it happen. You've gotten older. I've gotten younger.
No. So like just about like letting it happen and just being there to be like, hey guys, let's just try to stay calm here. Cause if everybody's yelling, it's not helping.
When I played on teams where the coach is a screamer and he's a screamer at his players, at the refs. And like, it gets exhausting. It's like just shut up.
Like Tom here, like I've hardly heard him yell at anybody, you know. Like, so when he does, the coach, like from the refs I've talked to, they like having games with Tom because they know like one coach is not going to yell at him too much. And that, man, if this guy kind of starts saying something to me, maybe I gotta think like, man, he never talks. So it pays off to not be like that. So
when it's too much and you talk too much, they stop listening as much, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of see how he does it, and I just sit there and try to be a lot calmer, because
I actually had
not going to help if you're all screaming and yelling. So
I had a text message like that, buddy of mine that I had worked with. I was playing his hometown with my squad, and he came to watch. And he started texting me after the game about the game. And he just said, I thought you were going to be a lot more animated on the bench. I thought you were going to be a lot more vocal. And I was like, man, coach and practice. It's like, there's only a few things you got to say during the games to correct things. It's like when they're out there playing, you got to let them figure it out. Like, we have our systems. If they're not doing the systems, I can tell them where to go, but it's like, they got to go out there and play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You have your little board. If you need to draw a little something up while they're on the bench, or kind of show them a little something, but that's always pretty quick on a game, you know. Like you said, it's not about screaming and yelling, it's about watching what's going on so you can
make the
adjustments that you need to make.
The one of my coaching moments I just had, that it's like, I don't get like at people often, but we're in the All Ontario finals, or no, it's the championships to go to the All Ontarios, and it's the first game, face off in our end, and the winger goes out to the D, like, not into it, you know, like reaching, and like the D-man goes around him and gets the shot off, and he came to the bench, and I'm like, you want to win a championship? that defenseman does not get around you. That is your guy, and you keep him to the outside, or else we do not win this game. And then the next time it happened, that defenseman got stayed in front of.
I mean, that's what they need. That's what, but staying calm with everything else is what allows for that moment.
Right.
For you to notice that that moment happened.
And you don't have to yell. You can say it more with your eyes.
Exactly. Exactly. And you talk to the one singular person, not the whole team, right? So then
no, you don't have to center people out in front of everybody and make them feel like crap.
Yeah. You get in their ear, you tell them to do this, and bang, it's done, you know? But that takes being calm everywhere else to be able to have that time.
Well, it sounds like you guys, I have never met your coach, but from Lamps, from you, like, he sounds like the type of guy I'd want to play for.
Yeah. I mean, I've been here 5 years. It's the first time in my career that I've had the same coach for that long. We haven't changed anybody on the staff for 5 years.
Like, that's awesome. That's what you want. Right? That's like, hockey. Like,
then we're all going on year six next year. You know, it's like, it's pretty sad.
No, and that's awesome. And funny story for you. It's like, so now I was a 1 year contract guy my whole career. Longest I stayed on team was 4 years in Bietigheim, and that was a roller coaster. But I've been with the same team now in the real world for 9 years. And man, I'm lucky to play for the coach I got in the real world. I mean, it was Monday when I talked to Reds, and I had stuff going on all morning. And then I logged off for an hour. Well, not logged off. I'm still on. They can call me right now if they want, and I'll pause it. But when it was over, like, the CEO calls me, and we start talking about these training videos I'm making. And he's like, so just hold on, man. You might have to pause the podcast, but we got to talk about this. And I was just giggling that, like, he jokes around with me about it. And, like, they've never said nothing to me about it. And it warms my heart. And it's like, so when I'm done this today, I'm going to do everything I got to do for you.
Yeah, it's not always about, like, you have to be here to do the work. It's about doing the quality work.
Yeah.
Right? So exactly. You put in the quality time and the hard work. When you're there, you get the task done. Same as we do here. And anybody should respect you. Anybody normal should respect you.
Well, and, like, I find it's like watching kids get better. It's like they have to like what they're doing. They have to enjoy it. They have to come with a smile on their face and want to be there. And then when you can see what they do without pushing them, without telling them that they have to go home and shoot pucks, that they have to go home and shoot 100 pucks, they have to do this stick handling. I just try to get them to love the game enough that, like, they go home and practice it on their own. And man, I had some dads tell me, they're like, I don't know what switch flipped in my son, but, like, he's shooting like 500 pucks a day. He's watching all these hockey videos. And I'm like, boom, that's exactly what I want.
See, and that's awesome. And that's the one thing where you got to flirt with technology these days, because the kids have access to, like, YouTube and highlights like we never had. Mm. You know, like it was fun waking up in the morning before school and watching SportsCenter and seeing a little bit of all highlights. Like, to be able to just sit there and, like, ISO all the goals from last night, like you could do on YouTube these days.
Well, and it's amazing, send it around to
their teammates and then talk about it and, like, things like that. We always paid attention to it, but how much more access they have to it.
Oh, and there's a lot of it out there. Seeing people get into hockey, that's what they want to watch, right, is what you need and get better at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but absolutely. I appreciate all the YouTube stuff that they have for, like, overseas, right? I got people around here talking to me about the NHL playoffs and who's winning and how the games went, and I'm like, I got no clue, man. I haven't watched any of it. I've been paying attention to Sundar Juski winning. I've been paying attention to Castle losing.
Okay, before we get to that, because I have some feelings about Castle. One second. We'll talk about that. Since we were talking about watching hockey on YouTube, you're talking about, like, watching Sundar Juski and all the teams over here. Team Croatia playing in 2A right now in Belgrade against the UAE, winning 4-1 today. I was watching that on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, World Championships 2A.
And you were the equipment manager for Team Croatia. And man, they got a different squad than when you were doing it.
Yeah. Well, they're in 2A now. We were in 1B when I was there. So we were a little bit higher. We were in a higher division.
There's a few guys leading with passports, you could say.
Yes, yeah. Well, right now there's Mark Kadich is playing that played in Mannheim for quite a long time, and he's in Feloc now, my good homie. And so he spends his summers in Zagreb, so he's playing for them right now.
Well, that's awesome. That's good for
They're leading their group. They got 9 points, 3 wins. So two more, get that win.
It's nice when you've been with a team that you don't have hard feelings and you still cheer for them because for me, it's like when Beatingham didn't want me back, it's like, well, I know I won a championship with you, but it's like the way things went, it's like, how can I cheer for you? I'm like, I cheer for my friends that are still on the team, but how can I cheer for you with what you've done? And then it's like, and then Hellbron, I mean, I got that. I'm like, we underachieved, but it's like, I was still the second leading scorer. I put up the points and I had teammates vouching for me that they wanted me back. And then they just say, no, we're blowing it up again. And it's like, well, how do you build a culture? How do you then go from seventh to higher if you just blow it all up every year?
Exactly. I have some teams that I feel like that about. Like for me right now, going through like kind of with Bremerhaven, watching them be pretty good. I like, you know, like they got the Slovenian guys I love there that I were there when I was there. Great guys. Like actually everybody, all the players were there that I got along with, coaches that were there when I was there, got along with. Just kind of some things that management doesn't need to go any further than saying that. So I kind of sit there and I'm like, man, for all these players, I'm loving that they're winning, but do I really want them to win it all the way, you know?
Well, right.
and it's not for the players. It's nothing against them. So just a little grumpy. But then sometimes I look at it like, bro, it's been 5 years. I got a home. I got my kids here. My wife's here. We're close to our European home. Is only 4 or 5 hours away. Everything's kind of worked out pretty well lifetime-wise, you know? So
like, right. And it's like maybe it did all work out for a reason, right?
Yeah. So.
You got to settle your grudges. That's what the shed's all about. That's why I don't have so much anger in my face anymore. Unless people make me flip the switch, right?
Yeah, because unless we start talking about referees, and then you never know where Wally's going to go.
No, refs. I like refs. I'm not talking about the refs. I'm talking about the people that watch the video after the game.
Maybe more like the league review people.
That's who I'm talking about. The ref calling that people in real time, that's a tough call. I'm talking about the people that rewatch the video.
They did take that to video review and give them a 5 and 10 on the ice.
They saw the same video I saw then.
Okay, yeah. So
I don't know. I'm saying if they did see the slow mode vote of him coming in and dropping his shoulder and hitting him square. Okay. Sorry, we better move on. Yeah, hey, let's talk about Castle. Let's get me on a rant again. Do you want me to get going?
Here's what I say about Castle, because Lance and I talked about this morning. Like, we're like, yeah, because we were, first of all, we were cheering for Regensburg because it keeps Augsburg in the league and gives us a derby game. So, like, it's just a day trip versus an overnight trip to Castle. So, like, for our schedule, it's just easier to have Augsburg in the league. So that was one thing. The other is I do not cheer or cheer for or want dysfunction rewarded. And for some reason, that team seems to be in dysfunction.
Just with a lot of money.
Yes. I don't know anybody there. I know some of the players. I don't know any of the management owners, this or that or the other. But, like, come on. You fired your coach with 10 games to go while you were still in first place. I don't know what happened, but you went down 3-2 in playoffs and you fired your coach. Like, man, he better have gotten, like, arrested off of the ice, like, away from the ice in trouble or something, if that's what you're doing.
But it wasn't just one guy. Like
The head coach and the sport manager. And then you lose the next night. And, you know, like, I don't know what happened in playoffs last year. Maybe they ran into the buzzsaw with Bad Nauheim. They kind of just seemed like this season, all they did was trip on their own feet the whole way through the season.
So for me, it's hard because I love seeing my puppies fly. And Marco Mueller is one of my favorite puppies I ever had. We'll have his jersey retired there. But it's like, for me, when it was Reds that tells me on Monday that, like, so they fired their coach when it's 3-2. Yeah, really? And I couldn't believe them because it's like, well, I heard they fired their coach when they're in first place. And
they
it's like,
he
was a rookie head coach. So it's his opportunity to show what he can do as a coach in pro hockey. And then instead of him being a first place coach, he's a guy that's gotten fired. And it's like,
was he Wasn't he the coach there last year too? Because I thought he was there the last year, and then they had the playoff meltdown. And then I thought he was the same coach this year, and then they fired him with 10 games to go.
Hey, man, I don't know. I'm just a guy talking my shed. Someone told me he was a rookie, but either way.
I can't say a playoff meltdown. They just ran into a buzzsaw, like, in playoffs, and that stuff happens, too. Like, it just...
So don't get me started on this European head coaching lifestyle.
Yeah,
was Bad Nauheim... Just so I'm clear and know what's going on in Germany still. Harry Lange, I've hung out with him for an afternoon. Shed guys know shed guys. Him and Sharpie were buddies from back in Graz, Austria. We hung out in Dresden, and Sharpie always raved about him. I meet him. He's an absolute beauty. He's hanging out with all these other beauties that are on the Dresden team and my boy Hammer. And I see him become a head coach. I see him take Bad Nauheim from a toiling second league team to winning the championship. Did he not get fired the next year after winning it?
They lost in the finals to Ravensburg two years ago. Yeah, they didn't win it, but they lost in the finals, though, to Ravensburg. But they knocked off Kassel on the way to the finals.
That's what it was.
Yes, but they're in the semifinals. And they just got hot in playoffs. They just put together everything together at the right time.
But, like, did he not get fired this year after doing that for them the year before? I'm pretty sure he got let go this year.
I honestly don't know, because I can't say that I'm totally up and up on all the stuff going on in the second league.
I just appreciate Straubing does. That. Straubing having the same coaches for 6 years, and then you build a winning culture. You're in the Champions League. You're top three in the DL, and you have stability.
You know what else we're doing next year is Spengler Cup, too.
Really? That's fun.
Yes. Yeah, so Christmas to New Year's in Switzerland.
Bringing the family and on TSN like back here, big guy.
Yeah, and get to bring like that. So something I've wanted to do since I found out what it was 19 years ago. So I finally get to check that off the bucket list and participate in it, not just go watch it.
That's I've only seen it on TSN, man, and that'll be an experience.
Yes, yeah, that's like that. We found out about that when we knew we were most likely qualified for Champions League, and I said, I could almost care less about Champions League right now. Spengler Cup is about the coolest thing you could do. Like, it just means that you're a premier club in Europe.
Yeah,
and so like to come in to watch this team, small team, climb like that. To being here for 5 years in my sixth year, getting to go to Spengler Cup and become like this place is a destination. It's pretty cool.
That really is cool. Cause for me, I got to Landshut like right after they had lost to Straubing in the finals to go to the DL or something.
Okay.
And they were the big rivals, and they're both second league teams. And then when like Kanzi and them were there in Straubing, like they were always the bottom half of the table. They were always just fighting to compete, and like now to see what it's become, and now you're in the Spengler Cup. Look at that, and you've had the same coaches for 6 years. Kassel had three this year.
Yeah, so just consistency pays off. I really thought this would be the year. We got over the first round hump, which I guess if you're going to take this step by step, we got over the first round hump, made it to semifinals. Like, we were down 3-0 in the semifinals and ended up losing 4-1. We were on game four, but like, man, I've never seen a team outplay a team so much and just not win games. And like in the handshake line, you're hearing it, you know, like when the team that beat you in the handshake line is saying like the puck just went our way, or like, you know, like you guys played awesome, you know, in a 4-1 series, it just seems like it was a dusting, but it wasn't at all. I can't believe how competitive it was, and it's really sour ending of the season because it felt like so much more was going to come of it.
Yeah.
And for when you end like that, it was a little rough. But maybe that's just the next step along the way.
Well, and that's why you need consistency if you want the next step. It's like in Europe, you see it all the time that teams get pissed off that have big budgets that just blow it up. And it's like, how do you take the next step next year when you have a completely different team that none of these guys even know each other?
So that's it. They've done a good job of just trying to keep it consistent here, and it's fun to be a part of it.
Can I bring up Castle one more time before we move on? We'll get back into
Absolutely.
Straubing.
We could always talk about Castle all you want.
Okay. So they came on my radar when I got to know Jerry Kuhn, and I know he's a good dude, and him and Lamps are boys, and like Shed guys know Shed guys. And then Jerry comes on and talks about his career and his open, and I mean he seems like a genuinely great guy. And then you see his numbers a year ago, and then you see his numbers a year ago, and then you find out he had a contract for this season, and the way they handled the goaltending in playoffs makes no sense to me, that a guy with a German pass anyways, so they don't bring him back for this season, whatever, he's going to show everybody what's up with Hanover, that whatever, you've made your decision. But then you fire a coach that's in first place, which for me now coaching kids, and if I was in first place and people fired me, I would not understand or know what I should have done. So anywho, moving on from that one that got me a little fired up now as a coach, it's like, so then they're in the finals of the whole thing. Like we're talking the end of the year, what you've worked for all season, and you are two wins away from winning a championship, and you blow up the whole coaching staff in the middle of the final series. And for me, to keep ranting, Hugo Boisvert is their GM, you want to call him, or sport director, the guy that helps pick the players. I played against him for the championship with Landshut. They were the big budget team with all the money, probably 4 to 5 times as much money as our team had. And we went to overtime of the final game and we lost by 1 and it sucked. But Hugo Boisvert in that series was like the MVP. He won every faceoff you had to win. He tried harder than anybody. He was their centerman that played both ends of the ice. He played hockey the right way. And then you see him become a coach, a GM, and it's like, well, this guy knows how to hockey. This guy knows how to compete and win championships. And he did it for you, Castle. He did it for your team. And he beat my team. And it still pisses me off. But then you do him like this in the finals. You're right. He better have been arrested. But like, then when I posted what I posted, he wrote to me to say thank you. And it's like, yeah, man, I'll have guys' backs, because when I play hockey against guys, I know who they are by how they play hockey, and I know what their personality is by what their teammates think of them on the ice and by how they play the game. And he is an absolute gamer and a hockey guy.
Yeah. What Rant teammates over. Say about you, what teammates say about you is more important than anything. And so you're 100% right about that, because there's a lot of guys that you sit there on the bench like, man, I hate this guy. I hate this guy. But you know, you know that if he was on your team, you'd be like, man, that guy is my boy.
Yeah.
You could always tell, but just by how the teammates treat him or what his teammates do for him, things like that. That's the most important thing.
And you see what he does for the team, and you'd see him blocking shots, and you'd see him doing whatever it takes to win. And it's, I don't know what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's what we don't know. We don't know what happened, but man,
it must have been something major, because if it wasn't, the flip will switch even further.
Well, then I'll be happy to watch that episode.
But it's like, well, I'd love to have Marco back on and find out what went on, but I don't think he should talk, because he's the legend of the team if he doesn't agree.
Yeah. See if you could get like a exclusive story of maybe just like
of what actually happened.
Yeah. Let's keep it the professional version.
That is what's funny about the Shed, though, is you do end up hearing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that goes on, and you're like, oh, so now it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Because folks, if you're listening to me, that one makes no sense to me whatsoever.
None.
Anywho, better move on, right?
Yeah, why not? Let's stay out of trouble.
So, Spengler Cup Champions Hockey League, and you're sitting in an empty stall. Obviously, very exciting season coming for Straubing. So that could make it more difficult for a guy like Lamps, because I know when I saw Cardiff in video games, I saw them in the Champions Hockey League. I saw them travel in Europe together with the same dandies I played with. And I was so jealous sitting back here out of the game.
Yeah, you know, Lamps, when he found out, the first thing he said was like, oh, man. And then, like, kind of like, oh, damn, or something like that. And then he's like, oh, maybe we'll just take the camper and come watch. You know, he's like, I mean, he's like, maybe just me and the family are coming to the camper and watch. And so like
totally,
you're right. Like, he was sad about it, but immediately he had like his, well, I'll just come watch it. Turn it into a vacation with the family.
Well, and he's just a positive dude that's happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man.
He's
absolutely.
The type of guy you need in a locker room.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Like, I keep telling him, like, he better come by and be having coffees in my office like once a week, like, just for the vibe. Just for the vibe of having lamps around.
And it'll help him too, unless it makes him too sad. Yeah. That's the problem I had when I was out of it and I didn't have my boys around, but he still has you guys around.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to like figure out how he could be a part-time equipment guy with us. Like, hey, just come be a little bit of an equipment guy. Hang out here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe free lunch out of the deal or something. Yeah.
We can figure it out.
By the way, you'll have to send me your poster pics again if you got any new ones. I know you sent me the one of you and Lamps when he had played his last regular season game.
Yeah, yeah, you can.
Got me
a
bit choked up, you know, seeing two shed guys out there and hockey's losing another shed guy in the pro game.
I'll say that was a tough one, but that was a little bit more of a fun night because then we partied at the rink all night and had a good night. When we did lose to Berlin there, and you got to go on the ice and do the handshake line. And then we, you know, like, you go stand in front, even though we lost on the road, you go stand in front of the section where the fans are. So like, I had to run down the ice though and give Cody a hug. And we were both just like a little emotional, but we're both like pumped. They're like, man, thank God you're staying in town.
Yeah.
Like, thank God you're being around. But like, I was so happy.
And
I told
him still around.
Yeah. And I told him, just so happy I got to be 4 years of this, like between the 1 year in the coast and then here and things like that. It was fun to be a part of it.
Well, the memory it brings back for me is like, I didn't know when my last game was. I got in a fight my second last game, mucked her right up for my boy Huddy. And then we go to Belfast the next day. My knee is all full or whatever. And then it locks after that game the next day. And then my season's over. And then I do the pregame speeches. I hang around. I do a whole lot of nothing other than hang out with my family. And then it's the last regular season game of the year. We don't win the league by like 2 points or something, but I said to Todd, the GM, I'm like, you mind if like I go with my kids one last time, just put on the wheels after the game? He's like, no, man, that's a great idea. You should definitely go do that. So then we do like a victory lap. My career's over. I'm in my dress pants with my jersey on and my skates. And it was so hard for me that the game was over and that the season was over and that I had to move home with no career, no brothers. They made it very special for me. They took some nice photos. I got a standing ovation, but like, then my son stays out to do the bouncy wave with the goalie for the fans. And I just remember going into the locker room and the boys are mad or whatever, cause they didn't win the league, but like my career was over. And I took the skates off and I chucked them against the wall as hard as I could. And I just started crying. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an emotional time. And like you said, it just didn't come to an ending the way you thought it would. It's more like somebody telling you this is over versus you getting a say,
I'm done. Like,
this is over. So it's gotta be a much more emotional experience that way, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, and then not being set up afterwards too, right? It's like the guys that walk right into a job, they got set up or the situation they want. And it's like, well, that's a whole different experience than coming back to the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Like, that's, like you said, it's so rare. Like, getting to stay where you played, Lamp's getting to stay right here. His American wife, you know, four kids. Just, you know, then getting to stay at, like, what a place they call home. It's a very, very lucky situation for sure.
Anyways, not to switch the route here.
Go whatever you want, buddy.
Okay. So speaking of equipment managers running amok and making a career out of it, our boy Deese that we've been to the shed with together is at the World Championships with Austria right now.
I think they just finished up. I think they got silver medal. Or no, they got bronze. I think they finished with bronze. Because, and I'll hand it to their coach, they had a 2-2 tie and they pulled the goalie because if they won that game, they would have been first place. And so they knew they were like, fuck it, if we lose, we're third, we got a medal.
Yeah. Second or third ain't no different.
fourth, even if you tell me fourth.
Yeah.
I'd pull the goal. I'd say, like, hey, guys.
We're going
like,
for gold, baby.
Yeah, because it happened a couple of years against. It happened a couple of years ago with me with Team Croatia. Like, Lithuania tied us with, like, a minute to go in that third place. But they had the tiebreaker on the top two. So if they had pulled their goalie and scored in regulation, they would have, like, won the tournament.
And they didn't.
The story goes, the coach asked the captain, and the captain said, no, we're good.
That's I had a weird one in all Ontario's.
Where I would say, pull the goalie, and if we finish fourth, we're fourth. Who cares? Or we're legends.
Right. You want to be a legend, not second or third.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the all Ontario's in the first game, we took the lead 2-1 with 2.5 minutes left. And the other team didn't pull their goalie. They just took the 2-1 loss. And then I saw that same team play again, and they had to win or tie or win or something to have a chance still. And they were losing at the end of the game, like 3-1 with like, they never pulled the goalie. It ended 3-1. And I was like, that's a bold, bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take that gamble.
Well, what are we doing here? Are you trying to win or not?
Yeah, you got nothing to lose. Like, I almost don't know what to say to that because I'm so confused about hearing that.
I didn't know. I just let it happen. I didn't say anything to him. I was curious.
Well, yeah, but... so you're competing coach. But like,
yeah, no, I was.
You would think it was some dad. Some other dad's like, no way. Like, hey, coach, what are you doing here?
Well, it was like 2-1. And then they had a face-off in our end, 20, 30 seconds left, and they didn't pull the goalie. It was like, okay.
Yeah, all right, and moving on, I guess, like, this is interesting
anyways, but it is pretty neat to see geese fly, and I love seeing my puppies fly, and I think it is so neat now that I've got out to my shed how many of the people whose paths I crossed are running amok of the hockey world.
geese is having a good old time there in Graz, and I'm glad he found a nice little comfy spot
that appreciates him for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's it. Like,
that's what everybody wants.
I love these, but he's an interesting cat. So you find a place that likes you, you fucking go sit there and be a legend.
And maybe I'm an interesting cat, but like when Sundar Yuski tells me to leave and I end up in Cardiff, and you know, I do the MBA and I'm trying to do that and play hockey with little kids. And then that next year after that season, like when I go back, like they, for the first time in my career, year 10, a team names me a captain of the team. And I'm like, you like me for me?
Yeah. And you're like, well, this is pretty cool.
So you're like, saying like, second. I can act like Wally and you like it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anywhere you can go where you can get to be you is a great home, you know?
Well, and it's like, it was always weird for me because when the coaches and GMs are around, I'm like, maybe I am a lot, but it's like, I think my teammates like it.
that sounds pretty normal though, if you ask me.
Yeah. For, and then you try and hide who you are around the big dogs.
You try not to let it out all the time, you know?
Right. Like doing naked squats for the boys in the middle of the locker room, heavy squats.
Yes.
Folks, we're having a raffle at aleshockeytails.com. It's a Walton 18 jersey with two ales and hockey tails jersey. And that is because I'm the first podcast in the world to sponsor a pro hockey player, the captain of the Manchester Storm. And the season's over and I haven't even paid the whole bill. And now I've lost my jersey maker guy. So this is the last jersey I have to raffle off and to pay them back. So I need everybody's support and I need everybody to want that jersey because this is the last one. AlesHockeyTales.com, folks. And we still got a pretty big bill to pay. So I need everybody, buy your tickets. Please help me out. Right?
Get it in there.
Get in there, folks. Who doesn't want a two Ales and Hockey Tails jersey, right?
I would love a two Ales and Hockey Tails jersey.
Well, you got to buy your tickets, folks, because I got no more. Someday we'll
get more, find you another jersey. We got to find you a new jersey manufacturer.
Well, not manufacturer. We got to find a new jersey maker sponsor guy.
Okay, jersey maker sponsor guy. All righty.
Yeah. Fellow was helping me out. He was fronting the money for the jerseys. I was raffling them off, sending the money to Manchester, trying to get paid in whole for them. And now we're on the last jersey, and we're not quite there.
All right, let's go, people. Come on, buy some
tickets. Come on, folks. Fun is fun. Help me out here, you know, for all this volunteer work I do. Just buy some tickets and try and win a jersey. Fun is fun, right? AlesHockeyTales.com. So, anyways, speaking of Lamps' boy, Jerry Kuhn, I saw he's in the finals for the Oberliga to try and move up to the second league with Hanover. They're down 3-2, and he's got a big match tonight, eh?
Yeah, Lamps, I talked about going to game one, but I heard Jerry ended up being pretty sick. Maybe some food poisoning for game one and game two. So I think he missed at least the first game, maybe the second.
Oh, gee.
So we ended up not going to game one because we were going to kind of maybe go surprise him and just like show up out, you know, didn't want to put the pressure on before the game.
No. Yeah.
And let it, you know, a big game, one of the finals. So we would have liked to have gone and seen him, but ended up not getting to get to see it.
Right.
But been paying close attention.
Right, and I'm paying close attention too. That's what's neat about meeting Shed guys is that I care mm-hmm. about them.
Yeah, like it's funny. Like I've known of Jerry and kind of known Jerry a long time, but I only met him like once or twice in person, pretty quickly at games here in Germany. And then listening to that podcast with you about him, like man, like this is pretty deep. Like you get to really know a guy. I'm like, man, this guy really is a beauty. Like.
Yeah,
not at all what you maybe thought about what you'd heard or seen or whatever about anybody.
Right. And until you get to know people, you don't know them.
Yeah. So I got Lamps keep saying he's going to be down here this summer working with him at the hockey warehouse that they've made here in town.
Yeah, that place looks pretty sweet. I saw the picture of that.
Yeah, that looks real cool. I was just riding. I rode my bike by it the other day. I got to stop by and check it out.
So let's stick with Straubing now, okay? I just wrote a couple things down. You've been there since 2019 now, and I saw the first year. I didn't research team didn't have that much time. Travis Turnbull was on your team.
He was here 2 years, my first year and my third year.
He's a confirmed Shed guy coming on and is tight with Vex.
Yes. Yeah, I think I messaged you when I saw that he was coming on.
I haven't got around to it yet. I got sidetracked with my own team and then now with Denmark.
Yeah, he is an absolute good human being all the way around. Likes the best out of anybody, you know, like brings the best out of anybody, is the nicest guy in the world. He's always got your back. He's a great dude. That's not bad to say about him ever.
And isn't it weird, no shed guys?
Exactly, shed guy, no shed guys. Me and Lamps went to go see him play for Dresden in Landsuit, and he ended up being sick and not playing that night.
Stop trying to see your friends.
That's exactly what he said when Jerry was sick. I was like, dude, we can never go to a game again. Like every time we go, somebody that we want to see playing is sick.
And that's cool that you guys are wanting to go see a guy that I know is a confirmed Shed guy because him and Vex came up together, right?
Yeah, I guess they're both in the same area there in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. And it's a small world. Vex was my college roommate for a bit on the road. And
me and Lample and Vex on the same team.
Right. And then Vex is the guy that starts the Twix in Hungary with Mac. And then I bring that to Cardiff. And now it's gone to Herning, Denmark. And now there's a chocolate storm in Manchester. It's a weird world.
Yeah. Just tossing candy everywhere, man.
Well, fun is fun, folks. Hockey's supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, I guess I had Turnbull there. His dad's obviously a St. Louis hockey legend. His dad played for the Blues for quite a while.
Genes are a thing.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, he's a St. Louis hockey legend.
Well, St. Louis has really become a hockey hotbed with Vex and the boys around there.
Yeah, he's got some great training going on there.
Yeah, he does.
Great programs I'm watching. I keep an eye on what he's doing. It's been a fun to watch.
Well, and then speaking of puppies fly, we've talked about him before, but my first every year in Germany, Dashy's on the team. I remember thinking it was cool that I was playing with guys that were playing in the World Juniors. And I remember him and another guy went to play for Team Germany in the World Juniors that year. And now you see, I think that was his last year in the second league. And ever since then, he's been in the DL and he's been a Straubing for a long time, eh?
He's been here for quite a while. And I know he was in Dusseldorf for quite a few years before he was here. I think he was like here, went up to Dusseldorf and then came back actually. Okay. But I think he's probably going on I think he came the year before me, so he's probably going on like year seven here now, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing what guys do with their careers when you've been out of it for like 9 seasons now.
Yeah, well, like our captain here just retired, Sandro. They had big Sandro Schoenberger night. That was a tough one. He played like his entire career in Stralsund.
Oh, jeepers.
Like, I think he played like a couple games at Augsburg when he was like 17. And otherwise, he's been here in the DEL his whole career.
I think it's pretty neat when guys really become legends in cities and on teams.
He is the next guy this jersey will go up, will be 27 for sure.
Well, that's cool. It's,
yeah, that's a no doubter.
So fun seeing your buddy's jerseys go up. To me, it's...
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Like his last game was so fun. He put on like... he just walked with his skates right up into the crowd, was playing the drums after the game, like drinking beers in the stands, like in all his equipment. The last regular season game, just like for the fans, they make those big choreographed signs. Like, I'm sure you remember those, like the super fans, the ultra fans hold up.
Oh, the and big, so, huge sign.
Yeah. The sign for him was amazing. Cause it was this painting of his face, the size from the floor to the roof of the arena. You know, like it just,
it's amazing
just,
what they can do. Eh? Those fans.
Yeah. 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 They get to come in the arena before and, you see him like chucking ropes up into the ceiling and catching on the way back down and pulling stuff up. And
it sounds like they got great fans there.
It is, I think it's second to none, and probably maybe even in Europe here in Straubing.
That's amazing.
I'll send some videos when Champions League rolls around next year.
I've seen a few of them. Actually, small world that Robert Greenlee. Oh,
Robert Greenlee. Yeah, he came and visited this year. His boy Nick Mattman, that played here this year, was league MVP and just signed with the Leafs.
I was gonna bring him up. Yeah, the league MVP just signed with the Leafs, and he was on the Straubing Tigers.
Yeah,
that's wild stuff.
I'm not gonna say names of anybody, but I do have contact with an NHL European scout. And I told that guy, I think, and it was not with the Leafs, but I told this guy, I think you need to keep an eye out on this D-man. And so I just felt good. And I just kind of felt good about myself because I said that in like November, December. And then at the end of the year, an NHL team does sign him. So I'm like, so at least when I'm like calling a guy that's got that much pool and I'm saying, I think you should look at this guy, I felt pretty good that he ended up getting signed. It wasn't with the team that I tried, but.
Well, wouldn't it be neat for the Straubing Tigers that a guy comes from Canada, plays there, and then goes back and plays in the NHL? It'd be pretty neat if he got some games, eh?
Man, with that shot, I think he's going to get some games next year. He's got size, he's got shot, you know, like Toronto D, you know, they could use some size, and he's got the size, and he's pretty quick, so.
One second, I got real world stuff for a second. Pause!
No, no problem, bro.
Game back on. Sorry, they always come first, right? That's what you gotta do.
Hey, gotta do what pays the bills.
Right? What were we talking about? The guy that's going to the Leafs? That's cool,
though. Yeah. We talked about that.
So, is it cool for next season, then, and it's a two-way contract?
I believe it's a two-way contract next season, yeah.
So, yeah, like he didn't go back and start playing the end of this year.
No, it's for next year.
Mm-hmm. Anywho. Okay, well, that's actually was my next note. Autobahn, had any good experiences lately on the Autobahn?
I mean, I just drove to the airport 3 times in 3 days, dropping guys off. But nothing crazy this year. I think my fastest, I'm up to like 200 kilometers an hour now, as fast as I've gone.
That's
which
good.
Is starting to get up there, but I still not the big, like, it's a little.
Well, it depends the car you have too, what you're comfortable with, right?
Yeah, that's true too.
The ones I had always shook right around 160. The most I ever got her to was 190 and it was shaking.
my Opel comfortably goes like 165, 170. Yeah. Like it will comfortably do that speed. Yeah, after that, it's a little bit like, I don't want to say it shakes. I don't want to say it shakes, but it just becomes so sensitive that every little move, it's like you're darting somewhere. So I just think I'm like, I just, maybe that's just the speed, you know?
I can't imagine going back on the Autobahn. I have a hard time getting over 50 yeah. kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
I have a hard time driving on pavement now. I always go to the dirt roads and go around to the town.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that reminds me of like living in the desert when I was in New Mexico, and I just cut through the arena was on the other side of this, like built in the middle of the desert. I could drive the 10 minutes around the development to get to the arena, or I could just take the dirt road through the development.
You have been a lot of places with desert, hockey, eh? So. I got New Mexico written down. That's the Central Hockey League, eh?
The old Central Hockey League, yeah.
Rumor has it that they, like, that league kind of is gone. The coast expanded, but, like, all those towns that became hockey towns, they all became junior towns because then you don't have to pay players.
Yeah, like, some are still, like, in New Mexico. Like, I was in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. It's like a suburb of Albuquerque. I guess they have an NAHL team in Albuquerque now. Amarillo still has an NAHL team. There's actually a kid from Straubing that plays in the NAHL in Amarillo.
Really?
Yeah. I think Corpus Christi, Odessa, all those towns, Fort Worth, I think they're all NAHL teams now.
Well, maybe remind that kid he has his German passport, eh?
Yeah. Oh, he knows. Yeah. I mean, he comes back here and skates in the summertime. Yep. Yeah. So, but he's there playing juniors right now. I think it's a good opportunity for him. He was Roman Zapp. He's having a pretty good year this year, the last I looked in January. But I'll be honest, I hadn't looked since then. But I think he had mentioned last summer maybe hoping to find a college scholarship, which I thought would be a neat route for a German to go.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, small world stuff. I don't know what we've talked about all the times we've talked, but the research team dug a bit. So Sheffield won every trophy this year. And you were with Aaron Fox and Carter Best and Will Shedgay?
Yeah, in Zagreb with Mevischak. Fox, he was like the GM when I played. We were in the Austrian League, so he's doing like GM and coaching.
Right. And and when you went there, it was the KHL.
Yes. Yeah.
I've had an interesting hockey history in Zagreb.
That's why I came over, was they were in the KHL, and no NHL teams that picked me up. So everybody talks about like getting as high to a level as you can.
Yeah, KHL's pretty high.
KHL on paper is probably the second best league in the world. I don't think there's really even much debate about it. So I was like, well, if I'm not going to go to the top league, I'm going to go to the second best league and check it out. And so it was a fun.
Go to Croatia, meet your wife.
yeah, which led me to Croatia, where I met my wife and had a kid and all sorts of fun things. And I got to travel Russia extensively. I've been pretty much everywhere in Russia.
All the places.
Yes, yeah. The only place I never got to go, they don't have a team there, is Kaliningrad. Do you know where Kaliningrad is?
No, I don't know it at all.
It's like part of Russia that doesn't, it doesn't touch any other part of Russia. Like it's surrounded by like Poland and Lithuania, and it's on the port of the sea up there. Yeah. So it's just like
you've traveled the world sharpened skates, haven't you?
Yeah, and I know about that because I drove right by that part of Russia, because I drove from Zagreb to Lithuania for world championships. Mm-hmm. Like 18, 19 hours. So.
Must have been pretty neat to be in the world championships, though, at any level.
Yeah, that was fun for Croatia. Bro, I always tell you about this. Maybe I've oversold the story now, because I always say, I got to tell you about the time I thought I got carjacked in Russia. Right?
Have you told me this?
I know I've said it, but like never said it on the podcast. I know like at least two times I've been like, I didn't tell that story.
It's time.
There was a time we flew like the what's the city? Sherpovets. Severstal is the name of the team. Sherpovets. There's like almost nothing there in Russia. There's like a factory and a small airport and the hockey arena and like one hotel. So what we would do when we go to Sherpovets is the team would we would fly into Moscow and the team would stay there and I would get in a van with my assistant and we would drive the gear with a Russian driver sitting three across the front in this big equipment van, like the 6 hours to Sherpovets. And then they would just fly in the next day and play. And so then the team would fly out. So when we were going back to Moscow, I told my assistant to jump on the plane, being a good guy, and then I'll ride with the gear. That way we don't have to sit three across the front. So we get out in the middle of nowhere. And when I say in the middle of nowhere in Russia, we're on a two-lane road in the forest in Russia. Like I haven't seen a gas station for like hours. Yeah. So it's me, and the driver who doesn't speak a word of English in all the hockey here. And right when I was leaving, one of the players looked at me and was like, hey, watch out for those Russian road pirates. Like they like steal semi trucks all the time. They steal trucks all the time. So I'm going out in this like, you know, box truck van. Right. So like we get out on the road. And I'm telling you, while you're in the middle of nowhere, Russia, and hadn't seen another car forever. And a car gets in front of us and slams on its brakes.
Oh yeah.
So then we slam on our brakes and we come to a complete stop. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I just, the only Russian I really knew to the, I started saying to the driver was Davai, Davai. And all it means is like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like I'm trying to say like, get out of here. Cause then the guy that stops in front of us, he gets out of the car, starts walking towards us.
Oh my God.
So, and I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, I'm sitting there like trying to slide my shoes on. I'm grabbing my phone to see if I got any cell phone service. Like, am I going to have to fight my way out of this? Like, I don't know what is going on, right? Like, I'm not going to survive. There's woods on all sides of me and, like, snow up to my hips, right? So, like...
Running's not an option.
Like, this is, like, the middle of nowhere in Russia. This guy comes up. My dumbass driver just starts rolling his window down. They start screaming at each other for, like, 3 minutes. I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, this is not good. The guy storms off. Gets in his car and speeds off. My driver just turns off his bright headlights. Like, that's, that was it.
That it was both it. The bright headlights?
The guy passed us and immediately stopped us to get out and scream, turn out the bright headlights in the middle of fucking nowhere.
That would have got your heart pumping.
Bro, you're right. I was sitting there like, I'm getting like a van, like my van full hockey equipment is going to get jacked from me in Russia. They're going to leave us out in the middle of the woods. Like, what is going on here? I was panicking, trying to look in the rearview mirror when this guy stopped, everything, you name it. Like,
oh yeah.
Am I going to fight my way out? Do they got guns? I got no idea what's going on.
So I don't think I'd name names now, but I heard of a guy, like he stopped pucks.
I know what you're gonna say that he did. I know what you're gonna say.
Well, so I have two different Russia stories. One, the guy was not enjoying his time and wanted to leave. And just so happened the night before or the day of, his car got ran off the road, and well, like he got beaten up quite badly and then left. And then the other one was one of the guys that went over there before it was like even the KHL, and wire and money and everything wasn't what it was, and he was getting paid in cash. Yeah. And he told me, and that is why you'd want to be in the KHL, because you make money, I guess, because it's nothing like Denmark or the UK. But he left at the end of that season with like, he told, this is one of the stories, folks, nothing like ever I made, but he left that season with $350,000 in cash stuffed in his chest protector, the soles of his shoes, like all the places he could shove it and hide it, and then had to fly out of Russia to get to Switzerland and put it in a bank account.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard stories of guys like that getting paid in U.S. cash. Like significant sums in U.S. cash in Russia.
You're
like,
and then they have like nowhere to put it.
Yeah, exactly. Here it is. And you're like, okay. And sometimes like, here's your whole paycheck for the season in U.S. cash. And you're like,
now what?
Well, I got to live here, first of all. And then how am I getting this home? And what am I doing?
Yeah.
Figure it out. Or like even trying to wire out of Russia. Like, thank God I never had to like live in Russia. But even just trying to like get your bank account to get it to be wired back before you leave is hard enough.
Oh, yeah.
I think Pat Kurzia was on your podcast telling crazy stories about that one time.
Yeah, he was on. Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while. It's hard to stay in contact with all the fellows I've talked to, you know?
Well, you're getting to be a busy man in the shed.
Well, once you get to know people, then it's like I care about too many people now. Can't keep track of them all. you know?
I just said I'm lucky to be an OG, get to come back and be a regular all the time.
Well, yeah, you are.
It's fun. It's fun to feel like that.
and like it, I always appreciate that. It's like, I got time today. Like, I don't have many windows in the week, and it's like, I have this hour today, and it's like, got to make some plays and find her. And you always make time for me, and I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure, buddy.
You get the guys that's like, oh, just wait till the off season. Wait till the off season. It's like, oh, yeah, you're so busy during the hockey season as a hockey player. You think you want to see how busy I am?
Yeah, exactly that. That's why I make jokes about our semi-annual thing, but it's always easy to line up the after the season one, but the in-season one, it's always like, and we try to do it with D's, and it's like, okay, here's 30 days. Here's we look at a month, and we're like, here is 3 days in a month that we can maybe fit.
And then there's the other times it's like, today works. And then you're like, yep. And it's like, game on.
Exactly. So it's one or the other when you got an equipment guy.
Okay. More small world stuff for you. You go to Zagreb. One of the years, the goalie coach is Alex Westlund.
Yeah, Westy was there the last year of the KHL.
So small world for you is I'm taking the kids to a Red Wings game. I get research team gets hot last season to see who's on what team and what plays I can make. And Alex Westlund is the goalie coach for the Detroit Red Wings. And I get his number, text him. My kids get to come down to the locker room after the game. They get a tour of the room, gets to sit in like Larkin's locker and all the whole deal. And Westy pulled that all off for me. But I thought the funniest part of the whole thing, and I hadn't seen him since Hellbrown, and that's what's weird about hockey. You don't see someone for so long, and then they'll still pull strings for you when you reach out 10 years later. But we went down to the locker room, getting a tour, and this guy walks by, and I'm like, I feel like I met you before. And I thought it was like just through hockey. And then like, he's like, yeah, I bet you have, you know? And I was like, okay. And then I'm watching their next game, and I guess he was the head coach. I guess he was the head coach in the NHL, and I didn't know who he was. My bad, I'm in your locker room, buddy.
Yeah. My bad.
Sorry, you guys just lost, and we're not allowed to meet any players because you lost, and losing sucks. My bad.
Sorry. This is pretty cool to come in the room, though, and it's really nice here.
When I found it weird, though, too, is like how the games changed was they finished that game and had lost to Edmonton, and we go down to the room, and this was within 10 minutes of the game ending. All the equipment was put away, the stalls were made, and they were gone working out already. And we're talking within 10 to 15 minutes of the game ending, they were already in their workout gear, gone back to the gym working out. And I'm like, holy moly, they just played a game.
it's like that around here too, like these days, more and more like post-game workouts and stuff, you know. As the season goes on, it gets busier and busier. They definitely dwindle a little more and more. Right. But I actually kind of like the nights that there's post-game workout because I get the room clean way sooner. Because like you said, they're out of their gear.
So like, well, and it does make sense. If you're going to lift weights, you want to do it as far away from games as you can and right after games as furthest away, I guess, as you can get.
Yeah. From the next game. Exactly.
And it saves you coming back the next day and doing it. It's like you may as well just get her done and be done.
Yep, exactly that. So, but yeah, I love it because then I can get all the stalls clean and set, you know, everything put back out for the next day before they're even gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys want to get on the road, they pack up their hockey bag right away. Then they just have their workout clothes on. And we get the van loaded. Then we just have a bag with shoes and a bag with laundry and you're out the door. Last two things on.
You got your system down, eh? You've made your bed.
Yeah.
Do you have assistants like these?
Well, no, like I don't have assistant. Like I have a co-equipment manager. We're just 50-50. There's no head guy or assistant. Me, Liddy, he's an Austrian guy.
Is he jealous? You always get to come to the shed and he doesn't?
I don't know. I mean, his English is good. It's much better than it was when I first got here, but I don't we probably talk a little too fast for him to always understand. And then his son's actually the goalie coach here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hockey family.
Yeah.
That hits a string for me because there's some guys I really want to have on, and they tell me that they're not confident enough in their English. And it's like, man, we just were gotta teammates.
Ride, let it ride, man.
Yeah, people want to hear a Danish guy speak English.
That's it. Nobody cares about quote unquote good or bad, or bad accents or heavy accents or not. It just as long as you can get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or as I always tell the people here, they always tell me I have a bad English. They have bad English. But yeah, but like it's far better than my Bavarian. Like it's far better than my Deutsch. So like I'm lucky that you're doing this for me.
Well, and I agree. And when I first went to Germany and I couldn't get across what I was trying to say, and then you lose your confidence and then you stop trying when people can't understand you. And then, yeah. You know, sometimes it can take some liquid courage a few years later and your boys are like, come on, Waldo, you've been here way too long to not be speaking German, and you're out for the night. And you're like, well, let's just give it a whirl then. And then next thing you know, you can do it. You didn't know.
Yeah. I like to think I'm getting okay at listening, but only very, very okay at best, not good.
What's your effort level like? Are you taking any courses or anything?
Bad. No, I need to have a better effort level. My little guy goes to first grade next year, so I kind of tell my wife, hey, why don't you go take the language class? Because she's European Union citizen. It's free for her.
And somebody's going to have to help him.
I was like, if he's in school, well, that's not just that, but like if he's in school all day, then she can do that. And then you're a little just more comfortable about living here and getting around and things like that.
Oh, it's so much better when you can speak the language. It made it way more enjoyable when you knew what was going on around. You knew how to do stuff. Yeah. And
like we got kind of lucky with that, like speaking the same language. My little guy had a bad bike accident. During playoffs, I went over the handlebars. Face was pretty roughed up. Was unconscious for a few seconds, like the whole thing. He ended up having to spend one night in the hospital because that's kind of how they do it here. It's Europe, so they'll monitor you for quite a while, which I got no problem with because it's all free and it's great. So he did have to spend one night in the hospital, but every nurse and person working in the hospital over in Regensburg, about 30 minutes from here where the pediatric hospital is, was a Croatian gal.
Oh.
And so then they would like read his name is Vuk, so he's a Croatian name. And then they'd come in and they'd start speaking German and my wife would English please, and then they see like his name's Vuk, they would immediately like, oh, Hrvatsky? Oh, blah 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 blah, you know, and immediately so that was actually like very comforting for that day that she had to be with him in the hospital all day. And through one night, there was always somebody around that spoke Croatian.
It just
happened to be like when she needed it the most, like they found her own people.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice. So I said, like, maybe if you go take this course, he's in school 7:30 till 4 o'clock every day. So maybe if he's.
Why? And it's way maybe nicer. Maybe go
take a course. Exactly. It's free. It's like,
if you got good enough at it and you like went on a vacation at the end of the season before flying home and you were like, well, I have a contract for next season. And it's like, I heard this unemployment thing's a thing, but you got to do the meeting in German. And it's like, oh, well, I can do German now and I can fill out the paperwork. It's like, maybe I should give that a shot. And not that I would do that, but like, it's like, then like you could go home to Canada for the summer and like still be getting money from Germany.
Yeah, collect your unemployment.
Yeah. And it could change your whole summer. I don't know though.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories about that for guys doing that for years. So yeah, I definitely know it goes on.
And it's a game changer, folks. So maybe think about it.
That's why I'm lucky. 12-month contract.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're unlucky. You should get more for 8 months and then hop on the Arbeit Lösegeld.
Yeah.
Then the team doesn't have to pay you. Just like in a love. Anywho. Just anyways, other guy that one of the assistant coaches was one of the guys Biedingheim replaced me with, but they were great players and won the championship next year. Marcel Rodman, another Slovenian.
Oh yeah.
Him and his brother, David, they replaced me with those two who are like Olympians and everything. So whatever.
I think those two and like Aaron Fox made up like the highest scoring line in Austrian league history or something like that.
Well, they sure did her in Biedingheim after they replaced me.
Yeah, I think it was in Vienna or something. They all played together and they just tore it up. I feel bad for Mars this year. He's been in Feloc for like a couple of years as the assistant coach, and they fired the head coach in like November-ish this year, October-ish, and made Marcel Rodman the head coach. And then didn't give him another shot next year. And the players all loved him. And like, it's not like he put together the team that played there this year. You know, he had the guy, you know, and the players all said that the players all gave him good reviews. Like, they love playing for him. So I
feel what else do you want in a coach?
Up on there. Exactly. Like, is an organization, like, you didn't really give him a fair shake. And I think he was somebody worth giving a fair shake to.
Well, he was sure a player. Both of them were. And I always find it interesting when you speak of European hockey. The guy that just got the Glasgow Clan job, Corey Nielsen, he's dabbled in Germany and whatnot. And last year he started the season in Dresden, and I'm looking at the roster and I'm going, there's no way this is the team he put together. You're not telling me a North American guy went over there and wanted to fill his roster with all like European guys and no Canadians or Americans. It's like, I just don't see how that's possible. And then when he takes this new job and he, you know, they've let him go on teams he didn't even build. And it's like, well, shouldn't you give a player, a coach, the players he wants? And it's like, now that he gets to go to Glasgow and actually pick his team, it's like, well, now it's up to you because you picked those players. And it's like when some other guy picks the players and says, okay, you're the coach, and then it's not the guys you want, and then they're not performing like you want, and then they let you go and bring in the next coach, then the next coach, and then the system just keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And you're right. It's something to be said about consistency and good communication between coaches and GMs and things like that, and a GM that's willing to listen a little bit too.
Oh, yeah, they got to work together.
That's because that's exactly that. So, yeah, I just thought with Marcel there, he just – I don't know what more you wanted out of them, the roster that they put together, things like that. And I know they were upset because they played in Champions League the year before, and with a coach that they had fired, he got him in a Champions League the year before and things like that. So,
yeah, well, it's
I just thought he would definitely be worth it to have, like, get to have his own, because apparently the problem was systems, and so, like, I thought it would be nice if they gave him a chance to install his own systems through the course of a training camp and give him a fair shake at coaching.
A full year.
Yeah.
I would totally agree with that. I wrote down so many names of small world stuff that, I mean, we just don't have that much time because the real world is still ticking away here. But like, you did have Quirky and Bremerhaven, who.
Yeah, Corey Quirk.
Me and him were, he was my centerman in Sunder Juski when we ran amok and won the championship.
Yeah, he was a great guy. I was only there for that half a season, but him and I stayed in touch from time to time, even still now, pass a message back and forth on Instagram from time to time.
Oh, yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah. And then other small world, I thought it was interesting. The goalie you had there was Thomas Popperle, the Czech guy?
Yeah.
He was the goalie in Syracuse when I got there, and I had never really played with Europeans, man. He was as He was as old school European goalie gets. He was like stand up, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was something else. Him and the other Czech guy, they got passports, and it was like they were German passports. Like, those guys were on their own program. Popperle and Huba, like,
yeah,
didn't really hang out with the team, didn't socialize with the team. It was the most like goalie thing you'd ever seen. Didn't put money on the board. Didn't, you know, like, they just kind of like
did their own thing.
It was like those two guys just did their own thing. I'd never really quite seen something like that.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
I didn't really get to know him when I played in Syracuse. Like, he was just the goalie. Anyways, I just saw that.
I mean, he was good to me, so I shouldn't say I'm not talking smack. It was just like he was definitely a different experience of something that I saw.
So anyways, last one I think I'm going to bring up is you were the equipment manager for Milwaukee in the AHL, which was with Nashville.
Yes.
Was the GM for that team not Paul Fenton around those days?
Yeah, Paul. Yeah. We had a couple. Like, I was there when Paul took over. Because we had Ray Sciarro before Paul. Paul was like assistant GM. Paul was like one below Ray. David Poyle was the big one. Then there's Ray. Then there was Paul. And it actually happened when I was in, I think we were in the Calder Cup finals. Actually, we had just advanced from the semifinals to the finals when we found out Ray Sciarro was going to be the head GM in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And then so we were going into the finals, we found out that Paul Fenton was the new GM for the AHL team.
Gotcha. Because small world his son was my line mate in Biedingheim, PJ, who is now a scout with him, I think, for Florida.
And I feel like his son was college roommates with the guy that became like our director of hockey operations guy in Milwaukee.
Makes sense. People know
Ryan
people.
Costello was his name, and I'm pretty sure he went. I'm pretty sure that he went to college with. Then that would be your old line mate.
Yeah.
His son then. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how how he got that job, which he still has that job, and it's been 18 years or something of doing it. So he must be doing something right.
Yeah. Well, and funny story was we had when Paul came over to visit the son in Bietigheim, was Super Bowl night, and it was a late night, and you know, I thought my NHL dream was over. So I showed him what I was working with. And then, you know, I made Paul show me what he's working with. And I ripped a shirt off in the restaurant.
Well,
he was an assistant GM in the NHL. I thought I could have some fun with him, you know?
Yeah. Hey, why not? You know, if there's ever a time to do it, it's drunk in a bar on the other side of the world.
Right. I don't think anybody was watching.
Yeah.
It's just having fun, Paul.
Yeah. He was a nice guy. Because I would go there for training camps and stuff in Nashville when I was working for Milwaukee. So I got my little like cup of coffee to see how an NHL training camp run, things like that. So I got to spend some time with him and had some different dinners where he would bring the staff out and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, like it's neat. Like they're both in the game. I think Paul's the assistant GM of Florida and PJ's like head of scouting or something or other. Yeah. I don't know. I know he goes to watch my Broncos now though, which is cool. But anyways, so that's another small world when I figured you.
That's a long time ago for this career though.
No, I know. Cause then you got Milwaukee and Cincinnati and I got a whole bunch of names listed off, but I'm not going to bother with that. Cause that's around my age group we're talking.
Yeah. Kanzo, Straubing legend.
He is a legend. There's no doubt about that one.
Yeah, I did see him here a few years ago when they retired in Billy Shrew's jersey.
Oh yeah,
and Kanzo came back for the game, and then when Sandro just retired here, Kanzo sent in a video message from the ski slopes.
And small world, as Bill True was then how Landshut signed me when they did, was he started the season as their import until he got his German pass.
Okay.
It was four games into the season, and then they need an import, and then that's when I come in.
Okay, yeah. All righty.
Yeah.
Billy's a great guy. I just saw him last week. He was stopping by.
Yeah, he should come to the shed.
Hey, we can help you get Billy to the shed. He's doing youth hockey over in Ingolstadt now.
Well, one of my first days in Germany was, it was like my first week there. The team's going to Oktoberfest. And I run into Kanzi at Oktoberfest, and he's with Bill True, and we had a day.
That's perfect. I've never been to Oktoberfest, but that sounds like the kind of day that it would be there. We have our big festival here, so I feel like I don't ever need to go over to Oktoberfest.
No, you don't if you have a good one in the town you're in. Yeah.
Yep.
And you guys do have
all Germans at ours.
And those are fun. Oh, those are fun. Yeah, you go to the real Oktoberfest, it's all tourists.
Yeah, exactly. So that's even the Germans tell me real Germans go here.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the Fettermarkt in Bietigheim really can run amok at that place.
Yeah.
It's great memories. Well, I better get back to it. You got anything before we shut her down?
Nothing. We got to talk about Castle. Hopefully, I didn't say too much about the refs.
It wasn't. I'm still saying it's.
Yeah, you said it.
Okay, but I mean. Anyways.
Or not the refs, league, whatever. You know, you get what I'm saying.
I do. I feel the same way. Quite passionately.
Yeah. So.
Well, anywho, you got any cool plans for the summer?
Just hanging out right now. I have to get an ear surgery in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. And then I got to probably go to the States at the end of June for a couple weeks. Yeah. And then, man, like with Champions League, then all of a sudden it's July and you're like, hey,
it's
guys are on the ice. Guys are here on the ice starting in the middle of June anyways, or early June.
Yeah.
And taking a little vacation. And then Champions League, guys are showing up by late July. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it's not the start of July like in Bietigheim. They're running around the track with no ice. Anywho.
Yeah. Hey, been there, done that.
Well, thanks for making the time again, bud. And
of course, anytime, buddy. Thanks for having me. I love it. Keep doing your thing.
And tell Lamps, have fun.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy.
All right, man. And this has been another episode of Two Hells Hockey Tales with Maxie and Wally. Oh, no, I hit the wrong button. Maxie and Wally.
Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. For the fans, to the players, living their hockey dream. Two ales and hockey tales with Wally. Kim Carden, Sander Uski, and everywhere in between. Oh, I hope you don't mind if I introduce you to another Shed guy. And remember, kids, when it is fun, two ales and hockey tales with Wally. Some chocolate, please.